Welcome to the Social Network Show. How do you feel about social technology in this connected, networked world we live in? Your host of the Social Network Show, Dr. J, interviews entertaining and informative guests to tackle the most pressing digital issues of interest to business professionals and nonprofit leaders, to parents and educators, and to those wondering where all this is taking us. And now your host, experimental psychologist, Dr. Jane Karwoski.
We talk a lot about problems in cyberspace, but we've got some really great news today. We're going to be talking to Mr. David Ryan Polger, who is an attorney, college instructor, blogger, TEDx speaker, and communication director of CopilotFamily.com, which provides a worry-free way to set sensible boundaries on smart devices for families. This is your host, experimental psychologist Jane Karwoski, Dr. J, and I'm sure you'll want to join with me in saying welcome to the Social Network Show, David Ryan Polger.
All right. Thanks for having me, Jane. I love being here.
Well, I know there's some really exciting things happening in your world, particularly a great project. What are you up to in the digital citizenship arena?
Yeah, I'm up to trying to keep busy with everything with digital citizenship. What's taking up a lot of my time lately is I'm the co-founder and co-organizer of the Digital Citizenship Summit, and that's a big national conference that's happening on Saturday, October 3rd at the University of St. Joseph in West Hartford, Connecticut. So what we're doing is we're bringing together all these thought leaders, organizational leaders, educators, parent leaders, to talk about better use of technology. So it can be topics such as cyberbullying, empathy online, tech bounds, you name it, we're talking about it.
Okay, well, why is it especially appropriate for the University of St. Joseph in West Hartford, Connecticut to host this summit?
Yeah, well, that was a question, Dr. J, a lot of people have. They said, well, why West Hartford? I have all places in the country to have a national conference. Why West Hartford, Connecticut? Why not San Francisco or New York or Boston? A major metropolis. What happened was the University of St. Joseph actually has a very deep relationship with digital citizenship. My co-founder is Mary Alice Curran, and what she does is the last couple of years, since 2010, she's been teaching a very innovative and perhaps the first one in the country digital citizenship class, and she's developing another class, specifically dealing with empathy online. In addition, right in the West Hartford area, is where I personally reside, but also we have the Center for Internet and Technology Addiction, also in West Hartford, and a few other people who are doing very kind of cutting-edge research on digital citizenship and better use of technology. So for whatever reason, we can kind of talk about it, so we're blown the face, can't really figure out why this happened, but for whatever reason, West Hartford, Connecticut has become this kind of hotbed of activity towards digital citizenship. So we said, let's do it here right now. And which is pretty exciting because even though it's in its first year, it's an inaugural event coming up on October 3rd, we're getting people to fly in from California, St. Louis, Chicago, Florida. We've got the whole country really coming in, every corner of the country coming in. We're also getting a lot of international support. We have people reaching out from Australia, UK, Ireland, a few different places. And we need to decide, all right, well, how are we going to involve them in the conversation? So we're working on a few different kind of interesting ways to maybe get them involved, whether it's to watch live streaming or some type of interactive ability from the Digital Citizenship Summit, if you go to digcitsummit.com, and really find ways where you can really make this kind of a global movement.
That sounds awesome. So this is the nature, of course, of a summit meeting, as gathering the thought leaders in any related area. So what is the particular focus, would you say, of the summit?
Yeah, well, the overall focus is to be very kind of broad-based with positive practical solutions with how we utilize technology. So digital citizenship as a term is still relatively new. Most people define it as the normal kind of ethical and responsible behavior of technology. I usually consider it what is safe, secure, and ethical with how we utilize technology. So it's this very broad-based umbrella term that includes things such as tech balance and cyberbullying and copyright and intellectual property. It really includes all the different various aspects that a digital citizen somebody would actually have to be. There's a distinction, as we know, with just in analog kind of real life, with being a person and being a citizen, right? And if you probably took a class in high school on this, like some type of citizenship class or participation in government class that everybody takes, it's really discussing this idea that if the true citizen of your city, of your state, or of your country, you need to be cognizant of the people around you. You need to act in an ethical, responsible manner. You often need to be active and engaged. You pay attention to the news and vote, participate, because the environment is only as good as the people. Likewise, that's what we're applying to this online world. So there's a difference between a user of technology and an actual digital citizen. So, for example, for kids with digital citizenship, it's a necessary area that's completely underutilized right now. We oftentimes just hand a picture of a device because here you go, connect to the internet. Well, the problem with that is nobody just hands somebody the keys of the car and says, drive. You're right. In a car crash, but that's what we're doing with our technology. So there's this huge movement that the Digital Citizenship Summit is trying to kind of corral and really kind of amplify. And this idea that with great power comes great responsibility, that line from Spider-Man. There's so much great power with our technology, but oftentimes we misuse that. We need to capitalize on that to improve our online environment, decrease the hostility online, make it a more positive space.
Well, it really is a process of civilizing new territory. Back a few years ago, everybody was referring to cyberspace as the Wild West. And almost with the idea of, well, that's just the nature of it. That's the way it is. Instead of thinking, maybe because I'm in the West, I think, it isn't that wild anymore. There was a civilizing process that occurred. And over 100 years ago. So similarly with the digital space and the virtual space that, yes, at first no one has really got a handle on how to act in that space. And it tends to be sort of an outlet for people's desire to break the rules and get out of the confines of a civilized society, but that's not going to last forever. It sounds like you're really taking good steps in that direction.
Well,
and if there's any downside, you've got more things to do now, but the day is still only 24 hours long. So something's got to go, right? We have to prune. There's a great idea for all of us. Eliminate trips to the post office. And that's with stamps.com. You can buy and print official U.S. postage right from your own computer and printer. How will you know how much postage you'll need for a particular letter or package or class of mail? Stamps.com sends you a digital scale to automatically calculate all that. No more trips to the post office for you. Everything right from your desk with Stamps.com. Then just hand it to your mail carrier and check it off your list. Right now, use my promo code SOCIAL for the special offer of a no-risk trial, plus $110 bonus. That's the digital scale and up to $55 free postage. Don't wait. Go to stamps.com before you do anything else. Click on the little microphone at the top of the homepage and type in social. That's stamps.com. Enter social. David, back to your Digital Citizenship Summit, which is at digcitsummit.com. And are there still tickets available?
There are. You know, this is the first event, and we're hoping to sell out at about 320 tickets. So if you go to digcitsummit.com, you'll see a spot for registration. Just click on that and go to the tickets. It's going to be a really interesting mix of people. We're going to have educators, parents, administrators, organizational leaders, a couple students, and maybe a politician or two will show up.
Well, that does seem, it seems like there was a strong education component in this because you really got off the ground in some ways at a recent conference. I believe it was the International Society for Tech in Education or
yeah,
Educational Tech.
A lot of people just call it ISTE, and I was recently at Philadelphia. So my co-founder and co-organizer, Mary Ellen Curran, who's a full-time tenured professor at the University of St. Joseph, where the Digital Summit is going to be held, She was recently there, and she's heavily involved with a new organization that's part of that ISTE group, because they're drawing in like 16,000 educators, and they just opened up this digital citizenship type of what they call PLN, which is basically just kind of promoting digital citizenship. And what's exciting is the head of that is this individual, well-known educator named Mike Rivel, who's actually the person behind really popularizing this concept of digital citizenship. He's an educator out of Kansas, and he's going to be flying in for our Digital Citizenship Summit on October 3rd. So it's really exciting that we're connecting everybody, all the movers and shakers, in this special space of digital citizenship.
Yeah, tell us about your partners in this endeavor. Mary Alice Curran. Mm-hmm. Yeah. At St. Joe's, and Mike Rivel. Now, he has a digital citizenship website, correct?
And he does, yeah. I mean, he's kind of considered the godfather of digital citizenship. And he, in this summit, is kind of taking on the responsibility of a speaker. So right now, we have about 14 or 15 nationally recognized speakers who are coming in from every corner of the country. And he's one of them. But he's definitely taking on an active role to help us with promotion, and especially for that recent conference down in Philadelphia. Whereas Mary Alice Prince, she is kind of the co-founder alongside me for this whole summit and everything that we're trying to grow from it. And she is a full-time professor there at the University of St. Joseph. And over the last couple of years, she has been teaching about digital citizenship. And actually, it's done some pretty innovative kind of internal stuff right there at on our campus. What happened, and this really shows you the power of the internet sometimes, is since we're both interested in digital citizenship, we actually didn't know each other, even though we're pretty much next-door neighbors, you know, here in Connecticut. And a contact of mine, somebody I'm connected with out in California, sent a tweet, and she combined the handle of Mary Alice and myself talking about, hey, this is what you got to check out with digital citizenship. And I always, every time somebody attaches something on a tweet with me, I say, well, who is this? Who is this other person that they, connect me with? And I clicked on it. It said University of St. Joseph, which is right down the street from me. and then I looked into Mary Alice's background. I said, my God, here she is, this big time leader in education on digital citizenship. And my own end, from being an educator, an attorney, and kind of more of the speaker TEDx type of character, I said, wait, we both have different angles of how we're approaching this. So it's actually been kind of a perfect marriage in terms of organization, because she has very deep contacts in kind of the EDU education world. There's a lot of conferences she goes to, whereas myself, I tend to have a high-level contacts in both the media, but also these organizations and ed tech companies for my own work with an ed tech startup, Copop Family. So just able to kind of combine all the different worlds, because what we saw was not happening, and that's why we made the Digital Citizenship Summit, is nobody was combining all of these stakeholders. So if you're a parent and you're an educator and you're an organizational leader, you're concerned with digital citizenship, but oftentimes the conferences or the get-togethers are separate. It's all educators and symposium. It's all organizational leaders. It's a bunch of politicians. It's a bunch of parents. Why not bring all of these people together so we can have a very fluid conversation? We can have a debate. We can really talk about best practices, because that's what I'm excited about, guys, Jay, right? This summit is going to say, well, let's bring in the person from St. Louis who's doing something really cool that we don't actually know about. They come into to West Hartford, Connecticut, the University of St. Joseph, and they do a presentation on it. We see digital citizenship in practice. They might be talking about a curriculum we can teach. We have Diana Gray from Sunwise, who was on your show, who's going to be talking about cyber civics, this curriculum for middle school students. We have another person, Ruben Lowry, who is talking about kind of a cyber civics, if you will, for 9-12, you know, kind of a higher end. And then even what we're trying to develop on our own end here at the University of St. Joseph is looking at it from a college level.
Right. And that is synergy at its best. You know, this is what's really going to help. I assume and I hope and I think it's there's some evidence to that when people get together across these boundaries, you know, the silos as we're all trying to overcome, but it's still very, very strong isolationist structure. I think that's the problem. It's not the people that couldn't care less what somebody else in a different discipline or a different realm of society, you know, apart from academia, is doing. It's just the structure is set to kind of perpetuate this isolationist tendency. So I wish you the best on that Digital Citizenship Summit. I know what I wanted to ask you. What is the airport that people fly into to get a convenient...
Well, it's Bradley International Airport, and that's located just right outside of Hartford, in West Hartford, where it's being held. So just by about a 15-minute ride from the airport to the university. We're getting a lot of people who are coming in from kind of the New York or Boston area who might be taking a train in, and there's an Amtrak train that really comes in just a mile down the road. There's also people who might be coming in the city and going in to catch north, which would be in New Haven. But presently flying in is Bradley International Airport, and that's always listed as kind of the Hartford-Springfield area.
Okay.
Check it out online.
Mm-hmm. And it's just one day, right? So a person could get accommodations if they wish, or just make it quick in and out.
And the good thing is, it's one day, so it allows that, because we're also thinking, there's a lot of people who might only have one day. They can come in, they can come out. In addition, on the website, digitsummit.com, we're listing travel information. So in a couple days, we're going to be announcing a block of rooms that we're going to have at the Hartford Marriott. We have, kind of a deal with them for Friday and Saturday night, depending on how long people stay. Because
if you
just try to make a whole weekend of it, we really want to promote people going out and saying, well, who else is going to this? And then schedule maybe a meetup with them, schedule a coffee with them, find some organizational leader you want to talk to, some company you want to talk to. Say, hey, let's meet up on Sunday morning in the Hartford area.
Great. Well, you are listening to David Ryan Polgar of DigSitSummit.com. And also the hashtag is #DigSitSummit. So we'll be back with the more details on this. But also, I wanted to ask David, what about the three C's? I know he's talked about this. So in the second half of the show, we'll go into that intriguing question.
Questions? Comments? Email us at questions@thesocialnetworkshow.com. Now, back to The Social Network Show.
Welcome back to The Social Network Show, where you are listening to David Ryan Polgar, and he is one of the organizers of the Digital Citizenship Summit. David, I know I've seen referred to the three C's when it comes to digital citizenship. Can you tell us what those are?
Yeah, the three C's are critical thinking, creativity, and conversational skills. So the big thing, Dr. J, is we want to be able to utilize our technology in a very positive manner, right? So, again, with great power comes great responsibility. So, all technology has the possibility to actually increase our human experience, but oftentimes we just use it in a negative light. So, you take something like creativity. Well, if we completely rely on our smartphones and we never think for ourselves, then honestly, we have a tough time being creative, being that outside of the box thinker. We need at a certain time to kind of unplug, to unwind, to let our mind wander and wander. And that's actually a component of digital citizenship with digital health or tech balance that oftentimes that I love talking about, because we always think of it as an either or. Either you're a Luddite or a tech fundamentalist, but in truth, you can love technology and love creativity. You can love your smartphone and love unplugging, right? They're not mutually exclusive. A lot of times there's confusion about that. And then it's something like critical thinking. We need to really think about this information. So a major component of digital citizenship is digital literacy or media literacy. We don't just accept an article or read online and say, okay, well, it's gospel. Well, it might not be. It might be legitimate or it might be fictitious. It might be something completely made up. You have to have a certain level of criticism or critical eye that you're giving any level of information. We also have noticed an issue with a lot of students where they might not notice the distinction between something like TMZ, the gossip written, and something like New York Times, the respected news outlet, right? Everything sometimes seems equal on the internet, when in fact, all media is not equal. So a major component of digital digital literacy and digital citizenship is really understanding the distinctions of information and understanding that we can't just be lazy about how we take in information. And when we're talking lastly about conversational skills, the key part is a digital citizen is also somebody who can have a conversation with real people. A surprising study just came out recently where they said 75% of 20-somethings are afraid of the office telephone. Okay, that's shocking to a lot of people because they're saying, wait a minute, I thought a 22-year-old was an amazing communicator. They're sending 3,800 texts a day. They should be so savvy. But if we're just focused solely on emojis and not on actual eye contact, then you actually have to leave that skill, right? If you don't use it, you lose it. Whereas what we need to promote with digital citizenship is this concept of balance, where we are embracing of being savvy in technology and utilizing kind of the newer language that's developing here. But at the same time, when we're outside, when we're sitting at the dinner table with our family, when we're with our significant other, you should be able to have an authentic conversation. We're really seeing this come up, especially for your own background, something that will be interesting, is this idea of pattern dating. It's become complicated by the fact that everything now is through dating apps such as Tinder. You know, we're never conversing in real life. We're just conversing through the swiping right or the swiping left. And then we actually have a tough time meeting a real person and having an actual conversation, because conversation is synchronous, right? You say something, you react, you see a person react, whereas our online communication, especially through our smartphone, is asynchronous. We choose. We have all that power to decide, I'm not going to respond. And oftentimes, we really kind of abuse that asynchronous communication.
There's a lot of those points you brought up. Let's see, the three C's then are critical thinking, creativity, yep, and conversation. Yep. Okay. Reminds me of another guest of ours, Katie Davis, from the iSchool of the University of Washington. She wrote the book, The App Generation, along with Howard Gardner. And also the Harvard Graduate School of Education is doing a lot of work right now on using technology positively in education. But I think the app generation is very interesting because it talks about the positives and the negatives, you know, for instance, the algorithm, the idea that, oh, well, there's an app for that, sometimes does affect the development of critical thinking or creativity, both, because if you're trained to always have a specific set of instructions, then if that's missing and you need to come up with a solution, you need to be a problem solver, then those skills need to be developed too, and coming up with your own ideas about different ways of doing things. So that can be encouraged actually through various technologies. So it's something that could solve its own problems if used properly. Hey, David, I wanted to tell you that I know I speak for SNI's executive producer, Jim Nico, and myself in welcoming your new series here on the Social Network Show. Very excited to have you on board.
I'm very excited to be on board. I can't wait to really kickstart a lot of this conversation that everybody is starting to have, but we can really kind of add some value and depth to it.
Oh, yeah, you talk about, this is just one slice out of your many topics, but I know that being overplugged mm-hmm. is one, and the Men Project is something else you have going, so yeah. A lot of...
And cyber ethics is the other big issue, you know, with a lot of people talking about Uber and some of the conflicts that are going on right now in Paris, and the sharing economy, how we utilize technology and selfie culture and cyberbullying and sexting and sextortion. There's 101 topics that we can discuss because every day brings a new issue and it's constantly evolving. The pace of technology is just pretty hard to keep up with. So we really need to have that conversation, that education, that debate to really make sure that we're ahead of it, that we're using technology, not being abused by it, that we're leading it and not being led by it.
Great. Well, thank you so much for joining us on the Social Network Show today, David. And now you are on Twitter @TechEthicist. and that hashtag, what hashtag are you using for your summit?
So the summit is hashtag DigFit Summit, D-I-G-F-I-T, and that's just the term that a lot of people shorten for digital citizenship. So DigFit Summit is the hashtag, and digfitsummit.com is the website.
Okay, great. Wonderful to get this news of things moving ahead, people kind of getting a handle on this new realm, this new dimension of life that we're all struggling with to some degree, but it looks like there's definitely some positive steps being taken, and that humankind is kind of getting a handle on this. And so thank you so much, David.
Well, thank you for having me back today.
And my thanks also to you, our listener and most important guest, for keeping us company on the Social Network Show. I'm looking forward to hearing from you through email at questions@thesocialnetworkshow or a tweet to me at socialnetshow2. Do visit our website at thesocialnetworkstation.com, and you will find us on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher.com, and many other venues. Check your App Store, Google Play for Android, or iTunes for iOS for the Social Network Show app. Until we welcome you here again, please have fun and be safe online and off.
You've been listening to The Social Network Show, the only worldwide show dedicated to social networking and social media. Listen to archived shows and follow us on Twitter. The views expressed on The Social Network Show are those of the hosts and guests and may not be the views of Social Network Intermedia. The Social Network Show is produced by Social Network Intermedia, copyright 2012.